Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All of us are stewards of something. Many of you are sons or daughters. Actually, I think all of you are sons or daughters. But some of you are mothers or fathers. Some of you are husbands or wives. Some of you have different sets of homes that you live in, different vehicles that you might take hither and toward. But we're all stewards over something. And God has given us that stewardship. One of the stewardship aspects of the office of the ministry is preaching, teaching, and administering the sacraments. God had given that stewardship to his apostles and to the men that he raised up and ordained through the hands of the apostles, through the deacons who served the church as well. This stewardship from God was given to Paul as well, being counted as an apostle because he is sent by Jesus himself. It is now revealed to the saints. It was hidden from the ages and from generations, but now it is made known. Every man that has stood in this pulpit since 1988, when this pulpit was made, and every man that stood in the pulpit of our old church and the church before that, has been granted this stewardship to preach the word of God, to use the law to cut to your hearts, and to preach the sweet gospel which reminds you of your hope in Jesus Christ. On this day, 5 years ago, the Lord called Pastor Bischoff to himself. It has been 5 years since he received that eternal retirement plan. We do not ache for him, rather we rejoice for him. He was faithful and he received his crown. He spent his ministry in faithfulness. He preached the word. He administered the sacrament. He was God's instrument in many of your lives. While not all of you knew him, many of you watched as he married you. Perhaps he baptized you and he catechized you. He preached. He acknowledged that it was not his word, just as it is not my word, but it is God's word. This is faithful stewardship. When a man stands in this pulpit, he does not say whatever is on his mind, but rather what the Holy Spirit gives him to preach. There are a whole lot of things that jumble around in my mind, and if you go to confirmation class or any Bible study, you know that. But when I'm in this pulpit, I make sure to try to submit to what he has to say to you. And what he has to say to you is this: Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of every prophecy of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise in Genesis 3, that the seed of the serpent would be crushed by the seed of the woman. That seed of that woman is Jesus, David's son, yet David's Lord. Adam's son, yet Adam's Lord. Mary's son, yet Mary's Lord. This Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that they had been waiting those generations for. He is the fulfillment of every prophecy because he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one that undoes the will of the devil, that undoes the will of sin, that tramples even death under his feet. So this Jesus, just as his custom was, on the Sabbath day, he went to church. Because that's what a faithful believer does. He goes to church. And as he goes into church, he is given the reading for that day, and he reads it. He reads it to them, reading from the prophecy from Isaiah 49 and 61. He reads it, and then he sits down to preach. This is a little bit different than we do here, because all of you are sitting while I stand for the whole sermon. But worship has changed a little bit over the years. At the time of our Lutheran forefathers, your average chief service was about 3 hours. That was just Sunday morning chief service. You had matins the night before, and then a time of confession and registering for communion. I'm sorry, vespers the night before, matins earlier in the morning, probably at about sunrise, and then a chief service of 3 hours with almost an hour worth of preaching. And after that 3 hour service, you would have a catechetical service. Now we just recite a very small portion of the catechism after our service. What a joy it would be to be in the house of the Lord among the whole host of heaven for that long, week after week. Jesus is the fulfillment of every prophecy. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he tramples the devil under his feet. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Isaiah wrote, filled by the Holy Spirit, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. People of import were anointed. Samuel anointed David as king. He broke the horn and poured chrism over his head. When many Christians are baptized throughout the world, and when I have them here at our font, I use oil. Not because it's required. All that's required for a baptism is water and the Word of God, with his triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But to teach that this child has been anointed, that is, set apart for Christ's kingdom. The adult, also baptized, is set apart for Christ's kingdom. He is anointed. The gospel is proclaimed to the poor. All of us have different amounts of money. All of us have different amounts of faith. Because to be poor doesn't always have to do with money, but it also has to do with our spirit. Are we poor when it comes to the things of God? Have we rejected all of his beautiful gifts? Or are we rich even if we don't have the money in the bank? When we trust in God, when we actually see that he is the giver of every good thing, we actually recognize how rich we are. Maybe it's not enough to buy that Bugatti, but it is enough to get us to all of eternity, where we will never lack or hunger any of it. The gospel is preached to the poor. He heals the brokenhearted. We know that Jesus is a healer. We see him heal leprosy. We see him heal deaf, blind, dumb. We see him healing all of these things. But it's the brokenhearted that he has come for. Those who have been downtrodden by the ways of this world and the lies of its prince, the devil. Jesus has come to rebuild us. He cares for us. Like the Good Samaritan, he pays the full price and heals us in our bodies and our souls. He proclaims liberty to the captives. Before Christ's coming, there was only hope that the Christ would come, and they were often slaven to the law. But now we are not slaves to the law. We are freedmen in Christ. And because Christ has set us free, we are free indeed. We now live not under compulsion, not out of servile fear, but we live out of the love as sons. We do not look at God as though we are slaves, but rather as heirs, heirs of every beautiful gift, heirs of eternal life, heirs of everything that our Father has. This is the captivity that he has released us from. We were blind. We were dead. We were enemies of God. But he has given us a recovery of sight. Our sin would not let us see Jesus. But because of his grace and the working of the Holy Spirit, we see him and we sing his glories. Liberty those who are oppressed. Perhaps there is a sin that you struggle with day in and day out. It oppresses you. It makes you feel like you could never be good. Give it to Jesus. Give it to him, confess it to him, and pray that true repentance follows. The Holy Spirit is living in you. Follow him. Reject the lies of the devil and follow his word. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Many of you have heard me say this, but I think as often as it continues to be taught in schools, you need to hear it. The letters AD do not mean after death. They mean Anno Domini, that is, the year of the Lord. We are in the 2026th year of the Lord. I know they try to change it. They try to call it the common era. They try to use CE instead of AD. And for that you say, 2026 years since what? And watch them squirm. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, because Christ is King. Yes, Adam Jaskie could be our village president. Yes, Tim Zaklinski could be our town president or chairman. Yes, Tony Evers can be our governor. Donald Trump can be our president. But above all of them, Christ is King. Jesus Christ is the monarch that rules all of creation. This is his year because we are living under his grace. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He closed that book and he said, "You're seeing it right now." We might have not been there to witness his fulfillment of it, but we have the scriptures that are his fulfillment of it. We hear it. We read it. We actually have it for free at the touch of a button. You can get any translation you want. I would guard against every translation. But the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. What a joy to sit there at the feet of Jesus. Pastor Bischoff, I, Pastor Miller, and his predecessor are not Jesus, but may we always give glory to the God whom we serve. The church sings, "Oh, where shall joy be found? Where but on heavenly ground? Where the angel singing with all his saints unite? Sweetest praises bringing in heavenly joy and light. Oh, that we were there. Oh, that we were there." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.